God's sure way to victory. Our text for this evening is there in Joshua chapter 5, verse 14. And he said, that is the man, as he's described, who stood over against Joshua. He said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? The Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, said, let all things be done decently and in order. And Joshua certainly applied that principle to his life as leader of the children of Israel. Because during Israel's wandering in the wilderness, certain things were neglected. Indeed, two very important matters had been neglected. And now that they had crossed over Jordan, Joshua was determined to put those matters right. Having crossed over Jordan, there was a melting of the hearts of the kings among the Canaanites. Chapter 5 and verse 1. The kings of the Canaanites had heard what the Lord had done, and we are told that it had melted their heart, neither was their spirit in them anymore. They really felt that they were defeated already through what the Lord had done at Jordan. Now, it would have been very tempting then to go up against Jericho immediately and there conquer it, since the kings of the Canaanites felt they were defeated already. But if Israel wanted the Lord's favor in the battle, then Joshua had to put things right. He had to attend to those matters which had been neglected during the 38 years to 40 years in the wilderness. And we notice, first of all, his obedience to the precept. Joshua was ordered to circumcise those men, verse 2 and 5, that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt. Them they had not circumcised. Their fathers had been circumcised, but because of the journey in the wilderness, their sons that had been neglected, that had not been taken care of. And now God told Joshua he was to attend to this matter. The reproach of Egypt had to be rolled away before Israel went forth to conquer Jericho. Likewise, if the Christian is to know and experience a life of victory, then the reproach of the world must be rolled away. Colossians chapter 2. And there we read the words of Paul, Colossians 2 and verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. And Paul is here referring to the circumcision of the heart. The putting away of the flesh and the carnal things of the flesh. And as we read in Romans 2 verse 29, and circumcision is that of the heart. Putting from the heart all fleshly notions and thoughts, and looking alone to Christ and living for him. Just as Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 4 and verse 4, circumcise yourselves to the Lord. There's a little chorus. The children would sing the chorus. I have decided to follow Jesus. The cross before me, the world behind me. And that's the way it is to be for the Christian. The cross before us, Christ before us, and the world behind us. The circumcision of the heart, the rolling away of our Egypt and the reproach of Egypt or the reproach of the world. Just as Israel was no longer in Egypt, so we no longer belong to the world. We're in the world, but not off the world. And so here we have Joshua attending to that matter. So where there was the obedience to the precept, there was also the observance of the Passover. Observing the Passover had also been neglected during Israel's sojourn in the wilderness. Indeed, since the days in Egypt, the Passover had only been observed twice. Even though the Lord said it was to be observed every year without fail, it had only been observed twice, once in Egypt, Exodus 12, and then at the bottom of Sinai, Numbers chapter 9, just twice. Now, before they would go any further, Joshua sought to put matters right. How can we expect the Lord's blessing to rest upon us if we neglect the Lord's precepts, if we neglect to obey the Lord's commands? Joshua put those matters right. Now we see what happened next. And I believe there is an order here in Joshua 5. There was the circumcising of those who had been born in the wilderness. There was the rolling away of the reproach of Egypt. That was taken care of. And then once again the children of Israel observed the Passover. That was put right. And we see what happened next. Verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? Joshua fell on his face and worshipped. The captain of the host of the Lord is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. One of his appearances before his incarnation, before the Word was made flesh, Now, isn't it interesting that the Lord did not appear unto Joshua until after he had put matters right? Until after he had seen to the circumcising of the young man, and until he had once again put matters right regarding the Passover. Then the Lord appeared. And that is true in our own Christian lives. If there are matters that need to be put right with the Lord, then they need to be attended to. Because the Lord will withhold his blessing from us until those matters are put right. And when they are corrected and put right, the Lord will then reveal himself to us. 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 10. The Apostle Paul was praying for the Thessalonian believers. And in this praying, he prayed that they might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. He prayed that which was lacking. Oh, he praised the Lord for the Thessalonian believers. But nevertheless, as indicated here, there were those things which were lacking. And Paul prayed that they might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Let us then perfect those things that may be lacking in our faith. Because once we do put those things right, we're on the pathway to victory. So regarding this meeting of Joshua and this man as he's described, we notice first of all Joshua and his realization. Joshua had gone out possibly to view the land and consider what was the best way to go up against Jericho. For we read in verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, it was approximately 5 miles from Jordan to Jericho. And so Joshua had gone out there, and it was while he was out there by Jericho that this man appeared. First of all, we have the presence of the man. And Joshua lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him. There was the presence of the man. Unknown to Joshua, that man whom he saw that day was none other than the Lord himself. We see that from verse 14. He identified himself as the captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua immediately fell on his face and worshipped him. And so before going to battle, before leading Israel out against Jericho, what did Joshua have? He had the presence of the Lord with him. The Lord was there, having appeared unto Joshua. And we have seen already in our journeying with Joshua that Israel's leader was very conscious and very aware of the importance of having the Lord's presence with him. Chapter 3, verse 6, and Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. His presence. And as we have already learned, the Ark of the Covenant was a symbol of the Lord's presence. And the Lord said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. The Lord's presence. He was going to go forward and take the city of Jericho. He needed the Lord's presence. Indeed, if he obeyed the Lord's commands, then he would be assured of the Lord's presence. Chapter 1, Joshua, verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. And the promise of the Lord's presence came after the Lord told Joshua to obey his commandments. We cannot expect to know the Lord's presence with us if we do not obey his commands. We cannot possibly live a life of victory if we do not, first of all, obey the Lord's word and obey his commands. Yes, the Lord will be with us. We will have his presence no matter what the situation, because the Lord is no fair weather friend. He's not going to leave us in the midst of the conflict. For he said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake. And the Lord has promised the same for us. Isn't that what he said in Isaiah 41? In Isaiah 41 and verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Not only will he uphold us with his right hand, but you look at verse 13 of the same chapter. For I am the Lord thy God. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. He'll not only hold us up by his right, he'll also hold us by his hand. If a child is afraid, the fear soon goes when the child feels the firm grip of mother or father. I will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And the Lord has said to us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The Lord's presence would be with Joshua and Israel as they would go forth to conquer Jericho. And I think it's interesting that Joshua lifted up his eyes and he saw a man. And the man, of course, was the Lord himself. The Lord Jesus is God, but he's also man. being man, he understands our tears. He understands our trials. He understands our temptations. He understands our tribulations, because he's man. And he has been there before us. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And when we have the presence of the Lord with us, we have the presence of one who understands all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done, for there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one. Not only do we have then the presence of the man, we have the posture of the man. Look at what it says. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him. There's his posture. The man was standing. This posture was an indication that he was standing with Joshua. He wasn't against him. He was standing with him. And it is interesting that when you find the Lord and find a reference to the Lord standing, it is usually referring to the Lord's support. You know, the way we would say to someone, well, brother, sister, you need not fear, I'll stand with you. If things are not going too well for you, well, you can be sure I'll stand with you. We say that indicating we'll give them support. Over in Acts chapter 7, in Acts 7 we read there about Stephen. And in Acts 7 and verse 55, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. You look again at verse 56. And behold, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Now we know that when the Lord Jesus finished the work that he was sent to do, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, where he ever liveth to make intercession for us. But what do we find here? We find when Stephen looked up into heaven, he saw the Lord not sitting but standing. What does that teach us? It teaches us that as Stephen was being stoned to death and he was about to give up the ghost, the Lord Jesus indicated to Stephen, I'm standing with you. I will support you. And the Lord supported Stephen. Look at Acts 27. Still in the book of Acts. This time, chapter 27. Paul is in the ship with other prisoners. The great ship Alexandria. And suddenly the tempest blew upon the ship, the tempest Euroclydon. And they had thrown all that was in the ship into the sea to try and save themselves and the prisoners. And they all believed they were going to drown. And then Paul stood up and spoke to the men on the ship. And this is what he said. Acts 27, verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. In the midst of the storm, who was standing beside Paul, supporting him? None other than the Lord Jesus, described here as the angel of the Lord. This was no mere angel, because Paul says, whom I am and whom I serve. It's Christ. And he was standing by Paul, supporting him in the midst of the storm. My, is it good to have the Lord standing by us in the midst of the storms of life. We go again, this time to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're familiar with these words. Paul writing to his son in the faith from prison. He hasn't many days left. He's reflecting upon his life. In 2 Timothy 4, he says in verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be led to their charge. But he doesn't end there. For he says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. My, don't you like that? Others had forsaken him, but not the Lord. At my first answer, no man stood with me. No doubt numbered amongst those men would have been those who said, it's all right, Paul, we'll be with you, we'll support you, we'll stand with you. But when the test came, they fled and forsook him. But then Paul says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, supporting him by his presence. It's like a minister whom I know. Some years ago, we had some trouble in his church. And there was a family who turned against him. And they were still attending the church and giving the minister some trouble. And when the minister at the end of the service would go and stand at the door to shake hands with the folk coming out, his family would come out. But one of the elders in that church would go with the minister to the door, and that elder would stand really at the shoulder of the minister, just to indicate to the minister, I'm standing behind you. I'm here to support you. Give him some moral support. That was a good elder. Standing with his minister, giving him moral support. But none is as supportive as Christ, who is our elder brother. And that's indicated by the posture of the Lord in Joshua's day. Joshua was about to go up against Jericho, and there's the Lord's presence with him, and there's the Lord standing by Joshua. So we have seen then the presence of the man and the posture of the man. We notice also the preparedness of the man. What do we read in that verse 13? And Joshua lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Now remember, Joshua would lead Israel out against the Canaanites. And here we find that the man, the captain of the host of the Lord, he's standing by Joshua and he's standing with a drawn sword in his hand. He's prepared for the battle. He's really indicating to Joshua, I'm with you and I will fight for you and I will fight with you. Some may think that's rather strange, that the Lord would carry a sword, that the Lord would be seen here in Joshua's day with a sword in his hand. It wasn't in the sheath, it was open and ready for the battle. But let me give you what Moses said once. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Exodus 15, verse 3. The Lord is a man of war. And so before Joshua led Israel against the Canaanites, there was one who stood by him. Heaven's man of war. With a sword drawn in his hand. The man was prepared to go with Joshua and fight for him and with him give him the victory. We will never know victory over the world, over the flesh, and over the devil unless we have Christ, the man of war, with us. With his drawn sword. If you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, in verse 28, whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. Isn't that what the report the false spies gave? They come back, and this is what they said. The people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims. Moses says, then I said unto you. He's recalling, recapping what he had said. Dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. In the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that he went until ye came unto this place. The Lord will fight for you. He's a man of war. And the Lord has waged war against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil every day. How will we know the victory? We'll know the victory when the Lord is with us. When we have the man of war with us, with drawn sword. And what is the sword that the Lord uses? It's a better sword than Goliath's sword. Even though David said of Goliath's sword, there is none like it, give it me. But the sword that the Lord uses is a far greater sword than that, for it is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God. The Lord will give us the victory and lead us to victory. No foe can stand against this man of war wielding such a mighty sword. And having his presence with us, we can go against the foe, none daring to make us afraid. And by the word of God, we shall slay the world in our lives. We shall slay the flesh. We shall slay the devil. You see, believer, we are already on the winning side. We don't need to live in defeat. We're on the winning side. I will never have to fear, for my Lord is ever near, and in him so often I confide. He's the keeper of my soul, since I gave him complete control. And he places me on the winning side. Well, I am on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin no more will I abide. I have enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord. I'm on the winning side. That's where we are. We're on the winning side. Oh, the devil may tell us we're defeated. We may feel defeated at times, but as the last line of that song says, praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side because we have the Lord's presence. And the Lord is a man of war. And he's carrying the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And he's standing by us. He's supporting us. And in our battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil, the Lord, you can be sure, the Lord will support us. God's sure way to victory. As well as Joshua and his realization, you have Joshua and the revelation. Upon seeing this mysterious man, Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? There you have the challenge. Joshua sees this man and challenges him and says to him, art thou for us or for our adversary? In other words, Joshua said to the man, are you for us or are you against us? Now, of course, Joshua did not know the identity, the true identity of the man. And it is only proper that whatever we venture forth upon to do, it's only proper to ask the Lord, Lord, art thou for me or against me? In other words, if we go forth and we go forth in the will of God and we know we're in God's will, then we know the Lord is for us. But if we venture upon some mission or other and we haven't consulted the Lord, we can go forth and make shipwreck of our lives. There's many a Christian has done that. They've gone forth without consulting the Lord, without asking the Lord, Lord, art thou with me in this venture? In 2 Samuel chapter 5, David made sure that the Lord was with him. In 2 Samuel 5, and there we read in verse 18, and the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? In other words, David is saying to the Lord, art thou with me or against me? When I go against the Philistines, can I be sure that thou art with me? He inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said unto David, go up, for I doubtless will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And we read in verse 22, and the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord again, see, he didn't take it for granted that the Lord would be with him. That's easy to do, you know. It's easy to take it for granted that the Lord is with us. David didn't. David inquired of the Lord again. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be so, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the top of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so, and the Lord gave him the victory. Had David gone up against the Philistines the way he had done the first time, he would have been defeated, because the Lord wasn't with him. Wasn't it as well he inquired of the Lord? Wasn't it as well he got the Lord's mind on the matter? And so we find Joshua challenging this man. Are they with me or against me? As well as the challenge, we see the captain. The Lord revealed himself to Joshua as captain of the host of the Lord. Verse 14. Captain. The word captain is the word for prince. The man revealed himself unto Joshua as the prince of the host of the Lord. And there are a few things we want to note about that revelation. Captain of the host of the Lord. First of all, we have the prince. Christ is our prince. Acts 3, verse 15, he is the prince of life. And Peter said of him, Acts 5, verse 31, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. But listen to this. Revelation 1, verse 5, with regard to Christ, he is the prince of the kings of the earth. That's important. He's the prince of the kings of the earth. The kings of the earth. As far as Joshua was concerned, the Lord was the prince of the kings of Canaan. Isn't that what it says in the chapter 1, or chapter 5 and verse 1? mention is made of the kings of the Amorites. The kings. Whenever the spies came back, they gave their report. They said, we could not conquer the Amorites. We cannot possibly win this battle. But they had forgotten all about the one who's the prince of the kings of the earth. And there he stood with Joshua, standing with them to support him with drawn sword, the prince of the kings of the earth. He holds a higher position. He is more powerful than all the kings of the world. He's the prince of all the kings of the earth. We're on the winning side, believer. We have the prince of the kings of the earth on our side. Not only do you have the prince, you've also the power. The Lord introduced himself to Joshua as captain of the host of the Lord. The host. No matter how sizable the armies of the Canaanites might have been or how powerful they were, Joshua had on his side the prince, the captain of the hosts of the Lord. All the hosts of heaven was on Joshua's side. In Luke 2, verse 13, at the birth of Christ, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts. You remember what the Lord told Peter before the crucifixion? And Peter came to the defense of the Lord, as he thought. And he drew his sword and cut off the right ear of Malchus. And the Lord turned to Peter and said, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" The heavenly host. And Joshua had them on his side. You and I have the heavenly host on our side. We are on the winning side. We will know the victory. We can live in victory. We can defeat the world, the flesh, and the devil in our lives because we have the Lord on our side. And we have the support of the captain of the hosts of the Lord, and he can command them to come to our aid in our time of trouble. There's not only the prince and the power, there's the promptness. Here, the captain of the hosts of the Lord said unto Joshua, "The captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come?" See, the Lord's never late in coming to our aid. He's never late in coming to our aid and coming to support us and coming to give us the victory. The captain said, the Lord said to Joshua, "I am now come. I'm here with you now. Before you go against the Canaanites, before you go against Jericho, I am now come." we can go forth in victory. Have the Lord with us. We have the power of the Lord with us. He's the captain of the hosts of the Lord. We have the hosts of heaven with us. We're on the winning side. And the Lord has said he will never leave us nor forsake us. He'll be there. Am I now come? He'll not leave us to fight alone. The challenge, the captain, and the conduct. In verse 14, this man said to Joshua, "Nay, but as captain of the hosts of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. See, this was no ordinary angel. This was no ordinary man. Joshua recognized the Lord when he was told, given his name. What was his immediate response? He worshipped. You take time to read through the Gospels. I can give you a few references. Matthew 2, verse 11. Matthew 8, verse 2. Matthew 9, verse 18. Matthew 15, verse 25. Those references refer to individuals who, when they came to Christ, they fell down before him and worshipped. When the wise men came to Christ, they fell down and worshipped him. Didn't worship Mary, didn't worship Joseph, fell down and worshipped. Jairus, when he came to the Lord to tell him about his daughter, he fell down and worshipped him. See, they all recognized whose presence they were in. How we always need to recognize that. When we come into the Lord's presence, we come to worship him. I'll finish here with his consecration. For we read in verse 14, "Captain of the hosts of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" There's his consecration. There's the way to victory. Live a consecrated life. Notice the two titles there, the two words. What saith my Lord unto thy servant? Lord and servant. And there's Joshua, and he's waiting for the Lord to tell him. He recognizes the one, the captain of the hosts of the Lord, is his Lord, and he is but his servant. And there he is in that attitude of worship, and he's waiting to hear what his Lord has for him to do. Waiting for what the Lord would say unto him. What saith my Lord unto his servant? That's the road to victory. Reminding us, isn't it, of what Eli told the young Samuel. When the Lord was calling him, Eli say, "Thou shalt say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." He's ready to do the Lord's will. And Paul said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" No sooner was Saul of Tarsus converted, and he consecrates himself to the Lord. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Master, speak. Thy servant heareth." Waiting for thy gracious word, longing for thy voice that cheereth. Master, let it now be heard. I am listening, Lord, for thee. What hast thou to say to me? That's the way to victory. Living a surrendered, consecrated life. The last point is, we'll not deal with Joshua and the request. Put off the shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. Isn't that interesting? Before Joshua went out against the Canaanites and went to conquer Jericho, he was found, first of all, on holy ground. If we want to know victory, we need to get to holy ground. When we go to the place of prayer, that's holy ground. And the Lord will give us the victory. God's sure way to victory. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. O Father and eternal God, we bless thee for thy truth. Thy word is truth. We pray, Lord, thou will help us to take it to heart. May we know what it is to live in victory. How, Lord, many are defeated. Defeated by the world, defeated by the flesh, defeated by the devil. And they live in defeat. But, O Lord, thou hast shown us tonight we're on the winning side. We can go forth conquering and to conquer. We can know victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have the prince of all the kings of the earth on our side. We have the hosts of heaven on our side. We have the captain standing by us, supporting us. He has his sword drawn. We will indeed know the victory. O Lord, I pray, would write the word upon our hearts tonight. And gracious Lord, may we indeed go from this meeting in victory, rejoicing in the one who is the prince of all the kings of the earth. May we live in victory this week. Be with us, Lord, as we part the one from the other. Grant us traveling mercy. And keep us near the cross. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.